RCR with Paul Brennan, Reality Check Radio.
Time to catch up on travel with Tim Malone, our travel. What are you, Tim?
I'm a travel specialist, Paul.
I was going to say guru. Yeah, specialist. But you could argue that those are kind of one and the same. Plenty of time in the business. Seen it all. Tim, it's great to have you back.
Thank you very much. Good to be here.
Okay, well, at this time when we're talking, it's cold and it's been raining and it's kind of the conditions that you start to wander off on. What would it be like if I went somewhere warmer, you know, more tropical, let's say? We'll get to that because I know you mentioned Bali last time.
Yeah.
But one of the stories that caught my eye this week, fewer term time holidays as parents heed warning in truancy crackdown. Now, I can imagine that some parents, you know, want to, you know, squeeze out a few more days for departure or arrival back after a time away. And you could argue that time away with the family is part of an education process. So any idea, is this a big problem? Is this some kind of problem that's been lurking around for ages?
Seems to be a problem that's ramping up a little bit these days. And I noticed that a press release was put out by a company that I don't work for, Flight Center, but it's a pretty good indication. It says that families with school-aged children are choosing not to take their children out of school to travel. And this is because the government's cracking down on truancy now. So the Flight Center General Manager, Heidi Walker, said it appeared the messages from the Ministry of Education were getting through to parents. New data had shown travel bookings during the winter holidays were up 10% from last year, while travel during the school term had dropped by 30%. And this comes after the government announced in April it would start cracking down on truancy by introducing a traffic light system of punishments.
Oh, not another one.
I know, Paul. And their parents. I guess this is one of the times when the current government seems to be using traffic lights as well. Anyway, the focus included parents taking their children out of school to go on school holidays. Yeah, then she goes on to give some advice on how to deal with that. I guess my view is that it's targeting the wrong people. I don't think I don't think any of us want to support truancy, and I definitely don't. My definition of truancy is, I guess, students who habitually don't go to school have every second Monday off or every second Friday off. I wonder whether parents who take their children out of school to go on a seven-day holiday at the Gold Coast or Fiji or Bali or Singapore or Europe or something, I wonder whether those are the sort of parents that we should be targeting. I wonder whether those sort of parents are actually more interested in their child's education than some other parents. I don't know. It seems a bit overkill, especially with a traffic light system that actually punishes those parents.
Yeah, I wouldn't have thought families with the resources to have holidays like this or that, you know, out, you know, around the Pacific or wherever, are probably, you know, looking after generally their children in the way we would want. So, yeah, I think you're right about that. Anyway, if it was me, and it's been a long time since I've had kids at school, I'd say stuff you. If the family needs a break and needs to be together, that's more important than being in a classroom for a few days. I'm sorry. See
I think the reasons why the kids are taken, why parents sometimes take their kids out of school, it's not purely economic. I'll give you an example. A family of four going to the Gold Coast, if they go inside the school holidays, it might cost $8,000.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
If they go outside the school holidays, could be $4,500 to $5,000. And when we're talking about Pacific Island destinations such as Fiji and Raro, it's not just the difference in cost. It's the fact that in Rarotonga during the school holidays, the accommodation's full. Money can't buy it. So if you want to go there on holiday and it happens to be during the 10 or 15 years that you've got school-aged children, then you pretty much have to go outside the school holidays.
Yeah, you're committed to them. It's sort of like a sheep race. You've got to go down that one.
Yeah.
And that's too much control for me.
For parents who really want to go in the school holidays and heed the truancy rules and all that, I guess my best advice would be to book in advance. And we're not talking about booking 3 months in advance. For Fiji and Rarotonga and those sort of places, if you want the choice of accommodation to be good, and just that you can get in, then 6 to 9 months in advance. You need to plan that far in advance.
Yeah. And with tight economic conditions now, you might not be able to look that far ahead to section off that kind of money, especially if it's premium holidays prices. So, you know, okay. Mm. All right. Jetstar's significant Kiwi expansion. I've always thought that Jetstar's had a bit of an unjustified bad reputation amongst people. I fly Jetstar all the time when I fly, I will confess, because the fares are always far better than in New Zealand, I got to say. And when I tell people I'm on Jetstar, I hope you arrive, you know, hope it's on time. I've only had one delay, and that was, I think, a fueling fault at Auckland Airport that held us up for about 40 minutes. I get that. So I actually think they're a good operation. Myself, always been impressed with the fares, the service, the on-time, stand in the aircraft, all that sort of stuff. So what sort of expansion are we talking about here, now that I've given them a plug?
Yeah, look, I think that their poor reputation was deserved several years ago. But I think over the last couple of years, Paul, they certainly have increased their on-time performance statistics. And as you say, their fares are considerably lower. Over the past 6 months, Jetstar's flight cancellations have dropped to around 1% on average.
Okay.
And that also means that more than 90% of their flights have arrived on time this year. Hmm. The 10% that haven't arrived on time this year, on-time performance means outside of 15 minutes late. So, you know, that compares very favourably with Air New Zealand. I think what you say is quite true. A lot of people are switching to Jetstar. And generally speaking, it'll be people that aren't quite so Airpoints obsessed.
Or Coro Club.
Air New Zealand is the one with the lounge, and Jetstar is the one without the lounge. So it depends how important that is to you. The fares can be half on Jetstar, regularly half what Air New Zealand would be. And, you know, for me, I would certainly be into doing that. Their expansion in New Zealand is that they're adding an extra route, which is route, should I say.
I prefer route.
I've heard you having this discussion with Stephen on
TV. He won't bend. He won't bend. It's still router.
So am I in some ways. Anyway,
that's okay. That's all right.
They're going to be flying Auckland to Maroochydore, which is a route that Air New Zealand has had to themselves, and Jetstar are adding that to, I think it's twice a week.
Where is that exactly? Sorry?
It's the Sunshine Coast.
Ah, okay.
So when you're going to that part of Australia, you can fly to Brisbane, Coolangatta, which is the Gold Coast, and now you can fly to Maroochydore, Sunshine Coast.
Okay, yeah.
So they're adding that. And they're also adding Christchurch to Cairns. So currently Air New Zealand are the only carrier that fly from Auckland to Cairns nonstop. Qantas don't do it, or from New Zealand to Cairns nonstop. Jetstar have decided to do it from Christchurch. So I think it's going to be twice a week. Port Douglas, when people go to Cairns on holiday, they're really going to Port Douglas. That's the place to go. And they're also increasing capacity on their key New Zealand domestic routes, which is Christchurch, Auckland, Auckland, Wellington.
So that would mean what? More aircraft, more seats?
Two extra aircraft based in New Zealand, which I hesitate to say how many they have based in New Zealand now, but I think it's only six.
Right.
Could be wrong. Might need to check that. But they're having two extra aircraft based here when this expansion starts to take place.
Yeah, I think they're Australian registered, so they cycle them through Australia regularly, I guess.
Well, they're a subsidiary of Qantas as well. And one of the things that I've noticed, this is anecdotal, but Cam Wallace, who was senior executive at Air New Zealand, he's now in charge of Qantas international routes, all of them. I guess the guy can't help having some level of extra insight into the New Zealand market because he worked for Air New Zealand for all of those years in a very senior role. Mm. So you wouldn't necessarily be targeting our market, but he's going to know a lot about it.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, they'll be looking at it because no one wants to lose any market share at all, ever.
Well, that's right, yeah.
Okay, so that's that. Air New Zealand reducing the number of fare types to Australia and the islands. No more seat and bag fares, and no more food or drinks on sale on board. Really?
Absolutely. I know this is a little bit surprising. Up until the 1st of July, Air New Zealand had three main types of domestic fares within... we're not talking domestic. We're talking Australia and the Pacific Islands. They had three main types of fares. Seat only. You could buy a seat and bag fare, which meant you got a seat on the plane and a check-in bag for free. Or you could buy the works, which meant that the extras for that were included were the full in-flight entertainment, including movies, meals, drinks, the bag, and the ability to select your own seat free. They've removed the seat and bag option, and they've also removed the ability to buy food and drink on board. Which is, one of the, I think it's going to be a significant development. So now you have the choice of buying a seat-only fare, which comes with full entertainment, and it comes with tea, coffee, and a snack, which is like the cookie time biscuit or a little packet of nuts or something.
Yeah.
Or you can buy the works, which includes the meals, meals and drinks, entertainment, bag, and free seat select. Now, I don't really know how it's going to go where you know, I might buy the works, which costs $40 more. Somebody sitting next to me might have seat only. In the past, the drinks trolley would come down. I'd get a beer. If I'm sitting next to someone who has a seat only fare, they'd be allowed to buy a beer for $8. And they'd also be able to buy a sandwich or a filled roll or something for $12. Now they can't do that. So it pays to know in advance what you're buying if you buy the seat-only fare.
They must perceive that they can make, I don't know, gains from efficiency or a greater sale price or more sales, something.
They've said that they're trying to simplify the product. And I think in some ways it will simplify it. It's just a case of getting used to it. And I think in the first 3 or 4 months when people who used to buy a seat-only fare because they might not want to pay extra for the meals, drinks, and movies, they might be surprised that they're no longer allowed to buy a drink on board or buy, from a simplistic menu. And some flights are quite long. I was having a look at the longest flight that this applies to will probably be Tahiti, which is almost 5 hours.
Okay, yeah.
It's a reasonably long time to go without anything to eat.
Can you bring a packed lunch? Do they let you get that through?
You can, but you'd have to buy it after you go through customs and immigration because the X-ray machines won't allow a bottle of water or a filled roll to go through there. But you can buy your McDonald's on the other side.
I always wondered if it'd be possible to do like McDonald's, now that you mentioned it, on the plane. I suppose that comes with all sorts of tech issues with the way things are cooked and heated up, but I would have thought that would have gone really well.
Yeah, and I guess the fragrance throughout the cabin would be quite present.
The cheeseburger, the Big Mac wafting through. Special filters.
Yeah, no, I don't think any zone are going to employ you anytime soon as their menu director.
Okay. Oh, well, I won't bother with that then. Last time we talked, you mentioned, when I asked you what is the hot spot to go, you mentioned Bali. You've got more on that. Air New Zealand are upticking their connection?
Yeah. Air New Zealand have decided that they're going to fly year-round to Bali now. They were only flying for the peak 6 months of the year, but now they've announced plans to move from seasonal to year-round services. They're going to be flying up to daily flights for 4 months of the year. Then another portion of the year, they're going to fly 5 times a week. And for the apparent low season, they're still going to be flying 2 or 3 times per week. So essentially, they've recognised that people want to go to Bali. Kiwis are going. A lot of Kiwis are flying to Bali using other airlines. My lovely wife and I are going to Bali later in the month. We're going with Qantas because you can fly Auckland, Sydney, Denpasar. So Air New Zealand are essentially making sure that they've recognised the trend. People want to go there, and so they're stepping up to protect their patch, which is a good thing, gives us more choice of non-stop flights.
Yeah. They'd have to pull aircraft off other routes, though, or routes to accommodate that, you'd think. So is there anything, you know, that they're kind of walking away from to make this possible that we know of?
Earlier in the year, I don't think that this is affecting this, but earlier this year, they did cancel flights. They've cancelled all of their flights to Chicago. Oh, they no longer fly to Chicago at all.
Okay.
But that was a shortage of Boeing 777 aircraft, the ones with the engine problems. They have in fact chartered another plane from Wamos Air, which means they've got at least two from there now. Spanish airline.
Yep, no doubt.
That aircraft is used to fly to Perth daily. So anyone who flies to Perth on Air New Zealand, you're actually never on an Air New Zealand plane anymore. And this is just due to the Rolls-Royce engine problems that they're encountering, along with a lot of other airlines around the world as well.
Yeah, of course, that must be frustrating. Mm. And I remember meeting a Rolls-Royce person at one of the big American air shows, and he was saying, I think, and this is years ago, that they'd just signed a deal with Air New Zealand to be the launch customer of the particular model of, I think, 787 Dreamliner that they're flying, and the first with the launch model with the Rolls-Royce engines. Perhaps should have stuck to GE, you know? They wouldn't be having these problems. Anyway, these things happen. All right, so Bali, and will that see, you know, the uptick in interest there? Will that see kids being pulled out of school to go to Bali?
I don't know. Maybe it will. Bali's not a place where people go for a long time. Seven nights is a great duration for Bali. So, you know, Monday to Friday, week off school, it can show people a bit of culture. I know when I was a child, I didn't get to go on overseas holidays very much. But my own children did, and it certainly helped broaden their horizons and round their vision of the world as a whole.
My kids have done more traveling than I've done now.
I find that hard to believe, Paul, because you travel so regularly.
And usually only to one or two places, but one's in the Navy and has been everywhere around the world. The other one is a relentless tramper and loves to go tramping at all these exotic places, Machu Picchu and all those places.
Yep.
And just in the time that I wasn't looking, they've accumulated way more experience than me. So, but that's what happens with, it wasn't as easy. Well, maybe it was easy. It was certainly more expensive back, you know, when we were in our 20s and stuff like that, to go somewhere a long way away. It was quite a big sum.
When I was in my 20s, I worked for Air France here in New Zealand, and I can still remember our fares to Paris and on to London. We had three seasons. The fares were $21.99, $23.99, and $25.99. They stayed that way for, you know, the 3 years or so that I worked there in Air France. That's not much less than it is today.
Yeah, but different dollar value back then.
Absolutely. So, you know, back then that was probably a month's wages for one flight to London and back. Now it's I guess, a week's wages.
Yeah, well, I got up to LA and back in January for 1,200 Kiwi dollars.
Yeah. That was on American Airlines, wasn't it?
Yeah. But still, I wouldn't say it's pocket money, but it was a pretty good bargain.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, this category of event travel, concerts, shows, Glastonbury would be an example of that. That's just been on. You'd probably, you know, make a whole trip of going to a music festival like that. That's kind of what I'm thinking when I see event travel.
Yeah, totally. I mean, events for different people mean different things. Last year, for example, I'm not a royal fan by any means, but I did watch the Queen's funeral, and I like watching pomp and ceremony, and I watched that because of the scenery that accompanied it. But my wife said to me, why are you watching that funeral? A coronation would be a much more interesting thing and a joyous occasion. So even though we're not royal fans, last year we went to London for the coronation.
Oh, wow.
In November, I'm going to New York City. You know what that's for?
Tell me.
I want to be on the ground in Times Square during election night.
Oh, of course. Yeah, right in the middle of Trumpsville.
Well, we don't know what the outcome's going to be, but a very good friend and I have booked to go together.
Oh, that should be an experience.
And, yeah, I can't wait for that. So the New York Marathon will be on the same week. So we'll get to watch the New York Marathon go through Central Park. We'll go to a game at the Yankee Stadium. And we'll be on the ground in Times Square for election night, we'll be home back home in Auckland 6 nights later. So to me, those are the types of things that I'm into, event travel. But everyone's got a sporting interest or everyone's got a concert interest. Melbourne is full of concerts when Auckland isn't. Earlier this year, Taylor Swift went to Australia. She didn't come to New Zealand. Now, whether you like Taylor Swift or not, might as well recognise that thousands of fans are here in New Zealand.
Yep.
We booked, I guess, a dozen people to see that, which isn't very many, but I'm sure hundreds of people in New Zealand decided, well, I think I'll go to Sydney, Melbourne or Brisbane to watch Taylor Swift.
Yeah, yeah, I think you're right. Yeah. Why is she so popular?
You'd have to ask a 14-year-old girl, Paul. No, you're asking me.
Bring back the 70s. Okay, here we go. All right, so you've got to do a bit of research, though, I suppose, or travel operations like yourself, kind of identifying events that are on around the world and kind of putting packages around those?
Oh, we certainly do a lot of that for things like well-known events, things like Formula One, the Australian Open, tennis. That I'm a fan of tennis as well, but I watch the tennis at ASB Centre here in Auckland, but I've never been to the Australian Open. I'd love to do that one day.
Yeah.
You know, those sorts of things, we have access to a lot of that stuff. Most travel agents in New Zealand would have access to things like that.
I want to do a deal with you when you come back or when you're in New York. I want to be able to talk to you on Reality Check Radio at the time and ask you what's going down, what it's like and what the experience is.
Let's do it.
No, we will do that. So we've got your number.
You've got my number, yeah.
That would be good. All right. Any other hot destinations or anything that folk might want to know about in the travel world before we're done with our little chat?
People are still going to the Pacific Islands. The USA is popular. We found it a little expensive on the ground when we were in the USA for Easter this year. So you have to be prepared for that. But it's an interesting destination, and I love it going there.
Yeah, okay. And if you search around, you can find quite good deals, actually.
Search around for specials. Prices are quite reasonable when you buy them on sale. And there's something on sale every single week.
Yeah.
Major sales.
Tim, how do folks get in touch?
The best way to find me is to Google my name, Tim Malone, travel agent. A lot of links will pop up, and I'll be glad to hear from you.
Good to have you back, Tim. Thanks so much.
Thanks a lot, Paul. Have a great day.
Right now, free speech is under heavy attack in New Zealand and overseas, with governments constantly devising new ways to enforce censorship. To make sure you never miss the critical news and breaking stories you rely on, join the RCR mailing list today. Get connected now at realitycheck.radio/email.